Greetings. Welcome to the Joy of Discovery radio program, brought to you by the family of the Claysburg Bible Church. I'm Pastor Keith Showalter, and it's great to be with you today on the Joy of Discovery radio program. And as I say every week, I'll say it again, that if you would ever desire a copy of any of our CDs, of any of our programs, all you need to do is write to us. Whenever you write to us, make sure you include the date of the program that you desire. And write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Emler, Pennsylvania, 16655. And I will get you that address again at the end of the program. Before we get to our program today, before we get to our study, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you so much, dear Lord, for your word. Thank you, Father, for the gift of the Spirit of God that teaches us your word. Father, today we fully depend upon him to give us wisdom and insight as we continue our journey through the book of Revelation. As we continue to look at these messages that are so pertinent to what we're going through today. So, Father, guide and direct our thoughts. Anoint this pastor, I pray. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So good to be with you today on the Joy of Discovery radio program. And I trust you have a Bible with you. And if you do, I'm going to ask you to open your Bible to Revelation chapter 6, if you would, please. Revelation chapter 6. We are still looking at the seal judgments, and this is part 7 of those seal judgments. They will run chapter 6, verses 1 through 17 is where we find them. But we are in a somewhat of a thorough study of those judgments. Now, last week in our study of Revelation, we started to look at the fifth seal, which when it was opened, John was able to see the souls of the saints under the altar in heaven crying for vengeance upon those who dwell on the earth. In our study last week, we looked at 3 points, really. We looked at the persecuted, the persecution, and the persecutors. Those who were martyred, they are future believers of the tribulation. The persecution will be extremely severe. Those who choose to follow Jesus Christ in the tribulation will have to make a choice over death and life. That's the bottom line. When they accept Christ as Savior, it'll be like they signed their own death sentence. Watch, if you would, to Revelation 13, 7 through 8, and then 11 through 15. Listen a little bit of what it's going to be like. And it was given to him, unto him, that's the Antichrist, to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him. This is a false prophet, by the way. And causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And deceived them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by the sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak. Now listen to this. And cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Gives you a little insight as to what's going to go on in the tribulation period. Those that do not bow to the Antichrist will be slain, will be killed for their faith. Mark 13, 8 through 13 says, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils. And in the synagogues you shall be beaten, and you shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do ye premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. I want to use this to show you something else about the tribulation period. At the end of the tribulation period, Jesus Christ will return to set up his kingdom here on this earth, as promised in the Old Testament. Now, Satan will do all he can to stop the establishment of Christ's kingdom. He will seek to destroy the nation of Israel because the promise of the earthly kingdom and the earthly return of Christ are both made to Israel. Today, I want to revisit the persecuted again from last week. To begin with, I want to raise a question, and then we will answer the question. The question is, why is there such a violent attack upon God's people in the tribulation period? Watch 6:9 of Revelation. It says, "When he had opened the fifth seal, I saw into the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held." We see two reasons here why the believers will be slain. I'll read it again. "When he had opened the fifth seal, I saw into the altar the souls of them that were slain." Here comes the first one, "for the word of God," and the second one, "for the testimony which they held." These people are not martyred because they will not bow to the Antichrist. Okay, so they're not martyred for that reason. He's not, when this happens, when this takes place here, he's not yet the center of the worship. These people were killed for their message and for their stand. Now let me show you the message that they will preach and proclaim. Matthew 24:8-14. "All these are the beginning of sorrows, and they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." Now listen to this. "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come." I need to explain to you what the gospel of the kingdom is. The word gospel means good news. This is not a gospel which replaces the gospel we know, found in 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, that says this, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." That's the gospel we know. This gospel that we know will still be preached, but there will be a second part to it, which is the gospel of the kingdom. You say, well, what is that? The gospel of the kingdom is the good news that the king is coming to set up his kingdom. This will be the message of the slain saints, and there will be a severe hatred for the word of God, which contains the gospel of the kingdom. And there will be a hatred for the testimony of these believers because they will stand firm on this truth. So this attack upon the believers will be an attack launched by sinful man against the rule of God. You understand that? They're going to proclaim that the king is coming to set up his kingdom. And the earth dwellers don't want to hear that. They don't want that. They're lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. So they will turn around and they will attack those that proclaim the message, and it will kill those that proclaim the message, because they are rebelling not against these individuals, but they are rebelling against the rule of God. That's what you got to understand. The martyred saints of this fifth seal are the casualties of this battle. The message will be that Jesus is coming back to set up his kingdom. He will rule and reign on the earth. And this attack against the saints is man's way of saying, we don't want God's rule over our lives on this and on this and on this earth. We don't want it. We don't want God to rule our lives. We don't want God to rule this earth. This hatred of God's rule was foretold in the Old Testament. Psalm chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 says this, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands, that's the bands of restraint, asunder, and cast away their cords of control from us. Now listen, as our world presses on toward the tribulation, we will see more and more hatred for God's word and for his coming kingdom. 2 Timothy 3:1-7. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. The point I want you to see is that as our society moves forward toward the tribulation, things will digress. This will all end in a major clash during the tribulation period. This world, as much as I don't want to say it, but I need to, this world will not get better as time moves forward. But instead it will wax worse until the radical intervention by God. But what we are seeing today is setting the stage for the coming of the world empire and the role of the Antichrist. We're seeing radical change that is a conditioning for the world, so that when the Antichrist comes, he won't have to invent anything new. Everything will be in place for him. People will be used to radical change, and so they will accept him. Our world is going to continue to get worse. You say, well, you're pretty pessimistic. No, that's being realistic. That's the truth of the matter. One day God will radically intervene. Psalm 2:4-9 says this, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Daniel 2:31-35 says this, thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part clay and part of iron. Thou sawest till a stone that was cut without hands, this is the kingdom of Christ, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them in pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away. Then no place was found for them, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. That's the kingdom of Jesus Christ. There will not be a gradual transition of this world as it converts to Christianity. But there's coming an intervention from God as he will destroy those who rebel against his rule over the earth. That's what these people are martyred for. There's the proclamation that they make, the statement that they make of the gospel of the kingdom, that the king is going to return and set up his kingdom. And whenever they kill these saints, they are rebelling against the rule of God. They're saying, we don't want God to rule over us, and we don't want God to rule over the world. We don't want that. Now let me get you back to the slain saints again. Let me show you their cry. Watch chapter 6, verse 10 of Revelation. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? They cry out for vengeance upon those who dwell on the earth. The word Lord here is very important in its meaning. It is the word despots, and it speaks of ownership. These martyred saints had a grip on the sovereignty of God. They saw themselves as slaves of God who had been bought by the blood of the Lamb. They did not live for the pleasures of the world. They lived to serve and sacrifice for the cause of Jesus Christ. They didn't belong to themselves. They knew that. They belonged to the one who bought them with his own blood. Watch verse 9 again. When he had opened the fifth seal, I saw into the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. They're under the altar, which is most likely the brazen altar, which speaks of sacrifice. These people gave their lives and they trusted God to stand by as they died to promote the coming kingdom of Jesus Christ. Their death was permitted by God in order to promote the coming kingdom. Mark 13 again, 9 through 11, listen to it. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils and the synagogues. And in the synagogues you shall be beaten, and you shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published throughout among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do ye premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it's not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. They are brought before the councils. They are brought before the authorities to magnify the name of Christ. They magnify his name in their death. It takes my mind back to Philippians 1:21. When Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. For me to live is Christ. That's what these people were all about. Their lives were lives that were lived to magnify Jesus Christ. For them to die was gain, in the sense that they gained heaven, they gained their eternal home. But there's more to that as I look at it. And that is the fact that also the gain was that Christ was exalted through their death. He was exalted through their death. As people will watch them die, and there will be no fear. There will be no fear. There will be no panic in these individuals because they got a rock solid faith. Their faith will be magnified in the midst of their death. And then through all of that, Christ will be glorified. Christ will be glorified because people will see their faith. They will see their faith. The faith that allowed them to stand as the sword was applied to their throat. That magnifies Christ. Let me say this. We don't know when the rapture is going to occur. It's imminent. It can happen at any time. Realistically, I know that it could happen before I'm done with this message. But at the same time, I realize that it could be years down the road. And if it's years down the road, we don't know how deep we're going to have to go into this whole darkness, so to speak, that our world's plummeting into. But you and I must always keep in mind that it is our responsibility to magnify our Lord, no matter what we do, no matter what the circumstance, even if it's in death, we're to magnify our Lord. We're to be true to Him, even if it means dying. Let me get you back to the cry of these people again. They cry out for vengeance upon the earth dwellers. God will bring this vengeance, and it was spoken of by Isaiah. Isaiah 63, 1 through 6 says this. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine vat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people that was done with me. For I tread them in my anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore my own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. And I will tread down the people in my anger, and make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. And speaking of Christ's vengeance on the very people that these saints pray for vengeance to come upon. Watch verse 11 of Revelation 6. And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. They were told to rest for a season until the others, which God has appointed for martyrdom, to die by the hands of those who dwell on the earth. Life on the earth in that tribulation is going to be far more difficult than we can imagine. In the Old Testament, there were six cities that were known as the cities of refuge. These were cities where people could escape the Avenger of Blood. In other words, if you accidentally took somebody's life, the nearest of kin to them could hunt you down and they could take your life. But these cities of refuge, they were places where if you took somebody's life, if you accidentally did that, that you could flee to that city and you were safe in that city. And you stayed in that city, and if you came out and they caught you and they killed you, then that was on you. As long as you stayed in that city, you were safe. You stayed there till the high priest of that day died. And when he died, then you were free to go. Then nobody could seek vengeance upon you anymore. Those cities are pictures of our Savior Jesus Christ. And he is our high priest, and he died. And so we are forever free. Nobody can condemn us. No accusation against us can stick, because we have been washed away or our sins have been washed away by the blood of the Lamb. When the tribulation comes, God will be the avenger of blood, and he will avenge for the blood of the slain saints. To be saved and in Christ is the only place of safety. That's it. I left you with that thought last week. This is terrible, what's here. Some people say, I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear it. But listen, if you're a realist and you know, hey, look, I need to know what's coming. I need to know what's coming on the earth. It's the Word of God. The book of Revelation is the only book that promises a blessing both to the teacher and to the student. So we need to study it. And I need to warn you and tell you that if you go into that tribulation period, it'll be the worst time you've ever seen in your entire life. There is a way of escape. That way of escape is through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. By coming to him and trusting in him as your personal Lord and Savior. By repenting of your sins and believing that Christ died in your place on that cross. Accepting his death as the full payment for your sins. When you do that, the moment you do that, you're forgiven. You're made new. Now you have a place in the body. Now you are baptized in the body of Christ, and you don't have to worry about the tribulation because we will be raptured away. I'm out of time today. I want to thank you again for joining us on the Joy of Discovery radio program. And again, I will remind you, if you ever desire a copy of anything that you hear on our program, the CDs are absolutely free. All you need to do is write to us. When you write to us, include the date of the program you desire and write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. That is Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. Until we meet around the radio or we see you in church, might you have a blessed week.